Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
Dude, Lucas, welcome to the pod. Welcome to the Sweat Equity Podcast.
Hell yeah.
Super excited to have you, man. So you've got 400,000 followers on TikTok. You obviously have a personal brand, but how'd you sort of go about the process of selecting what products you wanted to sell? I'd just love to hear about the beginning there.
That's a good question. I think a lot of people ask me, why workout clothes, bro? Out of everything, you could start an app, you could have a paid community. Why workout clothes? And I think a lot of really bright minds, number one, are avoiding simple products like that because they don't see it as very flashy, right? Yeah. So they're going for these newer types of businesses, which can be very profitable and very successful, but you can still do very well in a very simple business like that. And to be honest, like even though the clothing industry is really challenging, there's never enough clothes. Like there will always be a newer brand, a better brand, and it's more about community. Yeah. Obviously the quality of the product matters, but it's really about like story, community, and how you get people following that journey, right? Even you look at a brand like as successful as Lululemon, right? It started with focusing when Chip started it. I know he's a very controversial guy, but Chip Wilson started Lululemon with the goal of building a brand for like the new young boss woman, which was coming out in the early 2000s, right? Women were like for the first time in history having higher graduation rates than men. And he's like, these girls are making a ton of money and they're really successful and they feel independent. He's like, I'm going to make a brand for them.
Yeah.
So with me and my platform, it's majority guys. All of my content is self-help. Just like the truth behind how hard it is to be a young entrepreneur these days. So most of my content isn't even really about my business. It's just about like me voicing my thoughts or yapping, as people say, being a young entrepreneur. And I think the easiest funnel to get started on that journey of self-improvement is fitness.
Yeah.
So like in my mind, people, you know, I think what a better product to sell to people than the first thing they could use if you're just going from maybe not knowing how you should start to, I'm going to start working out. Does that make sense?
Totally.
I think that aligns perfectly with what you're talking about. If what you're preaching about is self-help or the content is related to self-help and then fitness is the number one thing that you focus on.
Yeah, the medium.
Then the next most important thing is the product that you're launching organically going to be placed into your content and feel native? Like it feels like it's supposed to be there and it doesn't feel like it's getting promoted, right? And you're doing that with workout apparel or fitness apparel, and specifically with these shorts where it just feels like it's a product that you wanted and therefore you created it for you. And there's a lot of people that follow you that look up to you and they're going to want that shit too.
I definitely agree. And I appreciate the kind words. My whole goal with the brand is, you know, over the next 5 years, as my platform grows, and I don't even want to be the face of it, honestly, like I'm trying to grow it with my own personal brand, but you know, not because of it, not be limited to just my audience. But the goal is like all these young guys that are 18 to 24, I would say is our primary demographic. As they grow up and as they move into the real world, they're probably going to be higher earners than the average person because they're already focused on self-development and growth and business and mindset young. So they're probably going to be higher earners, right? And they're going to be more likely to purchase products at a higher price point who they've seen the growth of, you know what I mean? So similar to Lulu, but with young, ambitious guys is like our model right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting bet. And it definitely seems like that's an underserved segment sometimes in pop culture these days. I'm curious, you mentioned Chip and Lulu in that story. Did that have a big impact on when you were founding this brand and who you wanted to make it for? Or did it come more so from the natural alignment with your audience?
Well, I didn't even read Chip's book and hear about his story until about probably over the summer, I think was when I first started reading his book. But it kind of just like reinforced the whole idea behind the brand of you need to know where you're going, right? You can't just like build it and have no idea. So
what's the reason for the name? What's the story behind the name? Because I asked Brian and Brian's like, I'll let Lucas tell the story and kind of give it up.
My favorite thing about when I met Lucas was the explanation of the squid name.
Yeah.
So I think you can make a brand and give it a generic name, and that might help you grow the brand at the beginning, but you're really not going to differentiate yourself at all. Yeah. You look at all the biggest brands that have stuck around, they're very unique. right? Like, I'm not going to shit on anyone's brand in particular, but you could pick a lot of, you know, like, I think Alex Eubank is a cool guy and yeah. I have a lot of mutuals with him, but his brand, like Elysium Athletic, like, it's just not unique enough, right? Yeah, I don't think that can go very far. And he's making good money, but what's the longevity of that? So on the opposite side, you look at a brand like Vuori, Lulu, Aloe, even Nike, like Phil Knight hated Nike, the name of it at the beginning. He hated the logo. He was not a fan. And now it's like the most prominent name in sports, right?
And all of apparel.
Same with Adidas and all of apparel. Yeah, right. So Squid Hoss, the reason behind that is it's very unique. There's literally nothing that sounds like it. So if you look it up, like, we don't even spend money on SEO. It's the top thing. But the idea behind the Squid Hoss name is squid is this term, as I told you, that means like pussy, weak, spineless, nerd, docile. It's like an insult, right?
Yeah.
Hoss is the exact opposite. That guy's a hoss, right? Like exudes confidence, stud, right? Good at everything. So there's polar opposites. And the whole brand is about that journey, that transformation.
From
squid to hoss, right? I like to call it like a climb that never ends because you're never actually going to get there.
Yeah.
And this is part of the reason. I think a lot of people think that the brand is named after me because my social handle is Squid Pactor. It's kind of the opposite. Like, I named myself after the brand, kind of like all the FaZe guys named, you know, FaZe Banks, FaZe.
Right.
Rug, whatever, named it after the brand. So I'm kind of like 8-miling myself.
Gotcha. So it was the original TikTok handle of Squid Pactor was not kind of like a self-deprecating thing where...
Yeah, I thought to myself, like, I mean, part of the reason I created the brand was because I myself went through, and I'm still trying to like improve every single day, but I used to be the biggest loser ever, bro. I had no friends, no girls liked me, no respect for myself, no happiness, like... Just felt like a loser, felt like a waste of air. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, like if you talk highly about yourself, it sounds cocky or whatever, but I love myself right now. And I feel very blessed to like, to be in a point in my life where I'm very proud of what I see in the mirror. And I have a lot of awesome people around me that help me every day. And so, yeah, I'm going through my own Squid Hoss journey right now.
Nice.
And the point of naming my TikTok Squid Pactor and then my podcast Squid Talk is tying into this idea that everyone you meet that seems like a stud, like they have shit figured out, more often than not was actually the guy that was picked last, right? Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, right? Yeah. Greatest of all time in their field, but they didn't make the team. They were picked last. They were the backup, you know?
Yeah, it's super true. So I want to get into like some of the meat of, you know, why we're doing this episode. On this podcast, we like to do super tactical kind of marketing strategy stuff. And Squid Hoss, great brand. You kind of, how recently did you start it?
I think we launched a year and a half ago.
Okay. And then, you know, haven't even launched paid media yet. I mean, launching today. So, you know, still kind of getting to that stratosphere. I'm not sure how big it is, 6-7 figures. You don't have to share anything.
I'm happy to share. I'm fully transparent with everything. I mean, we've ran like some Instagram boosted posts and stuff, but nothing that was like targeted really. Like, we had an ads team for a couple of months, but it didn't really work out. So we just shut it off for the last 4 months. The first couple of months of the business was me like just figuring out what business was, what the business was going to do. So I wouldn't even count that as like a real start. I mean, it was me like playing around. It was me being a wantrepreneur. So we've only been in business for real for like 8 or 9 months. But in the first year we did, I think like 650K in revenue.
Nice.
This year, I think once we can get the ads figured out, now that we have this good foundation, we can do 2.5 to 3 because it was just shorts the first, like it was one product. Yeah. So I'm very confident that we can do well this year with more variety, more of a foundation and
What drove that 650K? Was it just primarily organic content?
Organic. I mean, it'd be lying if I said it wasn't a bit based on me, but we also had a lot of athletes. Dude, they're so loud. Like, no other shorts look like them. So, you know.
The designs are great.
Thank you. It's interesting because a lot of people shit on it at the beginning. They were like, bro, that's fucking hideous. I would never wear that.
Really?
And then my strategy was I'm just going to hit up every stud that I can find on social media who I'm able to get a hold of.
Every hoss,
right?
No squids allowed.
Yeah. Doesn't even have to be a fitness guy. I hit up like cool entrepreneurs. I hit up anyone I just liked and respected. Yeah. And I sent them free shit with the hope that like I don't want to say average people or normal people, but like anyone who did have
people that followed them.
Yeah, people that followed them would see this guy who they look up to and be like, oh, that's a very loud product on a loud person who's on social media.
Where'd
doing
you get
well.
The shorts? You know, you kind of want to engineer that question whenever someone posted it, even if they're not tagging you, they want to be like, okay, where'd these come from?
Exactly.
It was just influencer seeding or creator seeding in many ways.
Yeah, 100%. And so that was kind of influencer was the primary revenue driver.
For sure.
And then what are you seeing this year? Because I've noticed that you've done pretty well on TikTok Shop. Like, I'd love to dig into how you view TikTok Shop content as someone whose audience is built on personal brand. And that can dilute your relationship with your audience if you spam them too much with that content.
Yeah, and it's a slippery slope, and it's not reliable, I would say, at all. I think TikTok needs to figure their shit out because right now they're kind of testing a lot of different stuff. But I think I made a video on this before. We went from like really struggling in October because I was just such a rookie and I didn't plan for, like in the clothing industry, like so much of your success is based on seasons.
Yeah.
So my sales are doing really well for a startup in the summer because everyone's buying shorts and like numbers are getting higher and higher. So I'm ordering more and more.
Yeah.
And just didn't prepare at all for the winter. Like just rookie move, honestly. We get to mid-October, it starts getting colder. Sales start tanking and I'm just sitting on my bed like, how the fuck did I not think of this, right? Yeah. I'm such an idiot because I'm sitting on 250K worth of shorts and I have no money in the bank. It was all wrapped up in inventory. We didn't do any marketing, right? It was just selling. So I was like, buy more and more. And I was like, you know what? It'll work out. It'll be okay. And the next day we got on TikTok Shop, sold us out over the next month or so. Our sales in like October and November were crazy high, skyrocketed. It was like, you know, I think September was probably best month at the time, 60K, I think. Then all of a sudden, October and November were like 140K, 150K.
Yeah.
But when you grow that fast, like it's bound to come down.
Yeah, for sure.
Because then we're out of inventory. Now it's really fucking cold out. The TikTok shops start giving away their promo codes and free discounts and shit. So then December and January especially were terrible months, right?
Yeah.
Mainly because we were out of stock. But so yeah, it's just not reliable. And I'll post like TikTok Shop videos every once in a while showing a new product, but I try to keep it less than 5%.
What were the videos that worked there on TikTok Shop when you sold out within that month, month and a half span? Or what kind of videos, the formats, the structures?
Entertainment type, like not what you would expect. So not like a video of me working out showing the shorts, but more me looking like a douchebag wearing like cool, like speed glasses. Yeah. Saying something obnoxious. Like I made a video the other day saying, not to get a little controversial, but it is clearly a joke. And I think some people are just so soft, they hate it. But I said, I'm pretty much Martin Luther King because doesn't matter what your skin color is, anyone that wears these will look sick. And that kind of stuff does well. And it's clearly just like ridiculous, but that kind of stuff, gets people like, wait, hold up. And the videos do well. And then
that's so interesting that like, so you kind of, you know, you created a controversial hook. And then because the shorts were featured in the video, these people are, you're getting the eyeballs with the controversy. And then people are kind of seeing the shorts and just, oh shit, those are sick.
People, I think people also just respect the, not giving a fuck, honestly.
Sure.
Like I never go too far across the line.
Yeah.
And that was clearly a joke, but dude, honestly, the more I've tried to walk the line, it's weird. The less people respect me, actually,
and
comment shit. But as soon as I get a little controversial, it's actually like, oh, I like this guy. I support him.
Yeah,
I think you have to pick a side.
Yeah,
I think in today's world, it's like you either have to be on this side of the things, and this is your opinion, or it's this soft side, etc. And you're gonna attract either or. If you're
look
in
at the Rock.
Middle, if you're in the middle, it's not. You're not gonna. You're not going to build a fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rock is someone who, like, I used to love The Rock, and the dude, like, is perfectly trying to walk the line, and everyone hates the guy right now.
Yeah.
I know. That's I watched the Joe Rogan episode, and my feedback was I wasted 3 hours because there was nothing, he had no opinion on anything. It was just, yeah, I agree, Joe. And it was like, that's it. You know what I mean? It was like,
but
no dropping an opinion
I mean,
at any point.
He views that all as like a massive risk.
For you know, sure, and I understand
that. Giving a real opinion, I'm not defending it.
I think he could be even bigger if he picked a side. He would lose some people.
Yeah,
like always, that happens. It happened with Nike when they when they did the Colin Kaepernick ad, and then they, you know, their stock grew X amount.
Right.
But people are going to be only more loyal to you if you pick a side versus walking the line.
Absolutely.
And particularly on TikTok, I think that's kind of known as a wild, wild west of opinions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a place where you can share a really raw, I mean, you know, you mentioned some other controversial influencers, like, you know, that's how their stuff spreads.
Yeah.
Is like they get their opinion gets clipped up on a podcast, and then it kind of enters the echo chamber on TikTok and finds the people that also share that opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
So becoming authentic, like being more authentic, is always going to win out.
Absolutely. And that's not even just in social media, it's just in general as a person, right? I hate hanging around people that are people pleasers and trying to say everything. Like, I would rather you say something I disagree with.
Yeah.
And you just say, hey, man, you don't have to agree with me, but this is how I feel. Yeah. I'm open to a different viewpoint, but you know.
Absolutely. Are you aware that some of the brands bidding on your branded search? Have you Googled Squid Haas recently? Because you got some pretty big brands that want to rank, honestly, whenever someone looks
at
them.
I'm curious, though. Yeah.
So one of them is Roback. So
okay, I've seen a lot of that.
They're kind
of
like a performance athleisure apparel. Another one is On Running. So obviously you're in kind of the performance apparel world. It's interesting that they're coming after you. Another one's Pangaea. Have you seen this brand?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was pronounced that way, but yeah.
I mean, I totally could be butchering that.
Interesting.
Either way, fuck them. And then there's Proper Cloth, which is world's best clothing for men, is their headline. So you're ending up in a lot of like broad search campaigns for a lot of big brands, which is pretty
sick. Know about you. They're running paid ads on the back end of your brand.
That's interesting. I just don't understand that world at all. I've always been like the idea overall vision guy, but I'm actually not very much back end. Let's really figure it, and I'm trying to get better at that. I'm trying to learn.
Right.
I think it's very important, obviously. You guys are killer at that. So
for sure. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So I mean, there's two ways that you could end up there. Number one would be perform like a Google campaign where someone creates a list of broad match keywords and Squid Haas was in them. That's maybe a little bit less likely than, you know, Google just determining that you were in their cohort and that y'all were similar. And so when someone, like, these people just have campaigns where they're trying to show up for any search in the entire men's apparel category.
Yeah.
So it's more likely that was it, but I thought it was interesting.
Those are not the ones I would have expected, though. I would have expected maybe ASRV.
Right. 10,000.
247, 10,000. Yeah.
Those like represent 247?
Yeah, exactly. Uvu. I would say 247 and Uvu, even though they're primarily like UK brands.
UK,
those are brands that I like a lot.
Yeah.
That
those are my two favorite brands right now.
Yeah, they're sick, dude. Yeah. And I'm trying to actually like take pieces from that and learn and some of their products, like the men's like compression running shorts, right? That's something that hasn't really fully made its way over to the US, but we're working on stuff like that right now.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you Google Squid Haas and clicking on the website, you know, something that this is a point where I'd recommend switching over to the YouTube because it's going to get very visual here. But you go to your website and, you know, your hero image, that first thing that shows upon load is kind of like a mural. It's like Squid Haas, like death over average. And you actually don't have a call to action button. Like you don't have like a shop now or like, you know, explore bestsellers or anything like that. Is that a deliberate branded choice or?
No, I mean, I also, most 90% of our engagement is on mobile. So it's actually a different picture from mobile because that one wouldn't fit on the phone landscape wise.
Yeah.
But on the mobile one, it's just a sick looking dude wearing our clothing. There really is no reason behind that. It was just like, I picked a cool themed picture for the front.
Yeah.
I'm curious here. It sounds like that's a big, we're losing a lot by not having a call to action.
You're above the 100%. Fold. So you're above the fold. The first thing that somebody sees, you want it to have some form of a headline, a sub headline, and a CTA or social proof.
Yeah.
And right now yours is like empty with a billboard or that graphic that if I don't know the brand and this is my first time interacting with it, I don't know what it is. I don't know where to go take action. You want to make that first above the fold very obvious. So even represent, like theirs is pretty basic just because this is a brand you like, but it's like the vault and it does have a shop now, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's at least a CTA taking you into their products, into their ecosystem, and letting the individual take some form of action.
Yeah.
So you want to do that above the fold.
What button would you suggest? In terms of a shop now, or like a, should I directly link it to my bestseller? Because my thing is like, oh, they just scroll half a page and they see.
You'd be shocked at your bounce rate. And if you put a heat map on your homepage, you're losing at least 30% of your traffic by the time they scroll down a product. Seriously.
For context, a heat map is like, it tells you what people are scrolling, what they're looking at, what they're clicking, and it essentially gets warmer on the page the more somebody sees or does stuff on a page. Mm.
So here is, and we'll put this up on the YouTube, but here's 10,000s and it's super clear copy, right? The only training short you'll ever need, and then presents that CTA, shop now. And it just takes you straight to their interval short, right? This is another thing about merchandising that I'm super excited to get into with you, because you, not to jump too far ahead, but you list all your products individually as, you know, old money green or something like that. And you don't allow color selection on the actual product.
We don't have that much variety. If we did, there's a reason for that. And ultimately, eventually you want it to look like that for sure.
Right.
But we're working on a ton of new products right now that we're going to push out, you know, probably in the next couple of weeks. And if I did list product variety on the actual, like running shorts, lifting shorts, tanks, whatever, I'd have like less than 10 products total on the site. It just wouldn't be. Yeah. But maybe that's what it should be. I don't know.
A lot of this stuff is just like simple A/B tests. It's not necessarily something that we could conclusively say is going to work or not. Mm. But it is like these little needle movers really impact conversion. Like especially that thing about, you know, not having a button and, you know, a headline.
So they need to go back every single time to look at the other colors. That's probably driving people away, is what I'm
100%
assuming your point is.
Any friction in the process is lost revenue. Mm. So, you know, that would definitely be that first recommendation, is inputting some sort of CTA and, you know, maybe a little bit of a headline. Cause I mean, I think you have a differentiated value prop to 10,000, you know, like you mentioned something I thought that was really cool was it the intersection of training and fashion, or like somewhere where you're living, where your brand lives. You know, Oren has said this really like eloquently on some of our previous pods, but he's like, there's crazy opportunity in being, you know, a Venn diagram of two things and you being in the middle of that Venn diagram in a way that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, you know, performance and fashion and kind of like at the forefront of that, that's something I would consider leaning into for that headline.
Yeah. I mean, it's like maybe, I mean, my kind of slogan personally, when I explain it to people, is like loud clothing for loud people.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Is that something that I should put on the interesting? Okay.
Yeah. I think that would be really cool. Make sure that you have a contrasting color in the font.
Yeah.
You know, like have a dark background, light font, and then contrasting button, shop now or shop bestsellers. And I do think it'll move the needle conversion wise.
Nice. You have to think about it from this perspective. Increasing your conversion rates, the easiest way to increase revenue without having to do anything differently other than change what's on the website. If 10,000 people visit and your current conversion rate is 2%, but now you increase it to 4%, you just doubled your revenue by just changing what's on the website.
Definitely.
You know, and it's like, it's minor things like Brian's saying, where you could just do these small A/B tests and build a drastic difference for the company.
Mm. Yeah. Another super minor thing is, and minor, but could be major, is on your email pop-up. So you actually have too many, you have a few steps. So one of, we'll put this up, but it goes full screen. So I don't have a, you know, choice to kind of like click out of it. I got to like really find that X, which some people like, some people don't. You have a button to then take someone to the next step to input their email instead of just presenting the email field right off the bat. And so you're introducing an extra step of friction, and then they have to give their phone number. So really it's a three-step process, when in actuality, you could upfront collect just the email and phone number.
I think you're totally right about that. What's interesting though is, so that for a good friend of mine is essentially like CMO of the company Amped that we use for that.
Yeah, Sawyer.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, okay. Yeah. So we just switched from our typical pop-ups made by our email guy to Amped, and it increased our sign-up rate from like 2.8% for email to like 6%. So it's already more than doubled. But I think you're right. Like, I'm definitely have no problem going to Sawyer after and being like, yo, put this all on one page. I'm sure it would.
But I think you could even do something where it's like, for the email address, you're going to get X offer, right? You might get 15% off. for SMS, you could be entered into this giveaway. And now it's like two different offers that they're signing up for. And the friction isn't as bad because there is value on both ends of giving somebody SMS and getting somebody their email.
So you don't like it where it needs to say like, put your email and phone number in to get the 15% off or whatever?
I always think it's a little better to Alex's point where you say, give us your email for 15 and then maybe your SMS for 20.
Yeah.
Because you want to give that little extra incentive to push them over the top versus, you know, making it like, okay, you gave us your email. Now give us your phone number, even if you don't want to claim this offer, which is how, I mean, that's the best practice, the PostScript, Attentive. I don't know what SMS like you're using. Like, this is what they tell you to do because they are incentivized to get you the maximum amount of phone numbers. The maximum amount of revenue will come from people that actually want to give you their shit. It's not necessarily like, oh, okay, you know, I get as many phone numbers as possible. Like, you're going to experience a lot more churn if you're just like forcing people to give you their shit versus if they actually want to.
20% is a lot. I'm curious if I should do 10 and then 15, but at the same time, 10, I feel like isn't attractive enough to get someone. Like, I would rather pay an extra 10% more than give someone my email and have to delete it.
And later. I don't even think that other offer has to be a discount though. It doesn't have to be 20% off. It could be, you do a giveaway every month. A brand that does a really good job of this is 47. They do the hats.
Yeah.
They build up their SMS list on the back end of giveaways. And they do the same thing. It's like an original offer and then a giveaway to collect SMS, and they crush.
Something I like to do with my SMS, and the list isn't crazy. I think it's like 2,000 people, maybe even a little less.
Yeah.
But we just started adding that on. But I like to do speed giveaways, I call them, where I'll say like, yo, these 10 discount codes are active.
Yeah.
It'll say like SH giveaway one, SH giveaway two, all the way to 10, right?
Yeah.
And each one of them is a free pair of shorts. So like, I'll release a new product and I'll say, yo, this product is out. By the way, these 10 discount codes, give it to you for free. First 10 people to use it, get it. So it just drives like hundreds of people to the site right away.
Yeah.
And sure, 10 people get it for free, but then everybody else
who
didn't get it
is convert. On the list.
Now it's in their head like, fuck, wait, do I want this? Like, because I'm already here and damn.
Yeah. I mean, everything's at bats. You know what I mean? You just got to get as many sessions on the site as possible. Yeah. So the next thing you kind of go into is your products, and do you list every single product on this homepage?
On the homepage? Yeah. Cause we just don't have that many yet. Open to feedback though.
I mean, it's up to you. I think one of the best practices that I've seen a lot of brands institute is kind of, you know, shop by category here. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to introduce products right after your hero image, I would introduce your best sellers.
Yeah.
And for you, your best sellers are a combination of things because this is all merchandising. So this is basically how are you guiding someone through your website's experience.
Yeah.
I would imagine that you're trying to move a lot of that bundle, right?
For sure.
And so bundle would be one of the things that, you know, I'd definitely recommend. And then, you know, your best sellers, I'd probably only display your best sellers here because for me, if I'm coming to the site after seeing your shorts, like, I get that you're trying to move, you know, the tanks and the t-shirts and the stuff like that, but like, I'm probably here for the shorts. And so, you know, I don't get me wrong, this is not like something that could be a crazy needle mover, but I would recommend going, you know, bestsellers, maybe like a square clickable thing that would take them to a bestsellers collection, or you could merchandise your bestsellers with just a headline and then a shop by category. So let people look at the hoodies, let people look at the pants, let people look at the tanks.
And with the shop by category, how would you suggest I set that up looks wise? Would it be like dragging you to another page or just like shop by category headline and then you have like shorts?
I like a white border with a clickable darker colored square and then text in that square.
Okay.
So
True Classic does a great job of this.
Yeah.
If you look at True Classic, it's shop by category.
They kill it.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of videos on their strategies. And
it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
They're super dialed. And I think, you know, what you can do is even for yours, you could go bestseller, merchandise those, you know, top selling shorts and then go into just tops and bottoms, you know? And then that way, like, cause there's a lot of scrolling to get to some of these things and you just want to minimize, like, I'm telling you, it's very illuminating when you put tracking software on your website.
I've used Hotjar a little bit, but it's always hard to understand.
Yeah.
So you guys have a lot more experience than me and understanding for me, I'm just kind of paying attention to how the cursor moves, but
you're watching the recording. Yeah. So I look at the drop off and the bounce. So like how far a percentage of sessions gets to on your landing page. So typically, you know, I'd say by the time we're at like, you know, these tanks, like you've already lost, you know, 50% of sessions mm-hmm. that have even come to the page.
Really? And I'd use Heatmap yeah. over Hotjar. Okay. Heatmap's going to give you like very obvious insights. That's like, hey, people aren't engaging with this. They're engaging with this. Hmm. And it's the same thing. It's like Hotjar, but with the insights given by their team to you.
Cool. Okay. I'll definitely check that out.
I was going to add yeah. one thing. The other thing I would do is when you create the categories, add the bundles to the top of the page versus at the bottom of the page. Yeah. You want that to be the first thing that they shop.
I only have one bundle right now, but yeah. as we get more products, I'll add more. I fully agree yes. with you on that. Yeah. I think that's...
Have those at the top so you yeah. can increase that AOV.
So do you think I should have like maybe the first category that pops up, the bundles, or do I have like best sellers and then the bundle is the first
sellers.
Of the...
Best sellers.
For yeah.
sure. Always best sellers and bundles first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
and you could probably bundle your best sellers, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I've noticed sure. though that you're not bundling the 4-inch shorts. Which
I'm about to. I mean, I made that running shorts bundle like 2 or 3 days ago, I think. Okay. yeah, so yeah. I just started bundles. I mean, dude,
it's a like, fluid situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's we're working on it, but yeah. I definitely should. I mean,
yeah.
One, it's hard because I've been thinking about like which bundles would do best, right? Do I do dark color bundles? Do I do USA red, white, and blue bundle? Do I do so?
Yeah.
If you guys have any advice on that too, totally open to
dude,
it.
Dude, that one's all testing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's based on your data.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you're thinking about it the right way. I think like clever things such as the USA bundle, the dark bundle, you know, the lighter bundle. Yeah. Contrast bundle, like stuff like that. So kind of shifting down the page, you get into this like climb higher, go further section, which is dope lifestyle shot. Mm-hmm. And you are sort of a lifestyle brand. I would say this is for a certain type of person, an athlete. So, you know, you could even consider having that be your running shorts image. You know, like make this click.
Which one?
Like, so this image, you know, like it's cool.
You
it's
guys great.
Make
High.
That the first one and then say shop, bestseller, shop.
Yes. Yeah, right. Gotcha. And then like maybe put a little border around it, but like make this clickable. Like people want to click almost everything on your website. They almost expect things to be clickable.
Yeah.
And so having this redirect to maybe it's your running shorts collection, maybe it's your bestsellers, whatever it is, that'll be another.
Well, I always assumed that having someone click to go to another page is bad. So that's why I've made the whole thing scrolling, you know?
Yeah. Well, we just want to send them to the point of conversion.
Yeah.
You know, at yeah. all times. Same with this one. Like this is a dope shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, how do we kind of take it to the next level is just making it direct to something specific.
Absolutely.
So whether that's, you know, the more kind of graphic design shorts, or maybe you swap in another image for the hoodies or, you know, the tops, whatever you're trying to move.
Mm-hmm.
But use that real estate,
okay.
you know, because this is a whole basically fold and a half of scrolling that's not clickable.
Especially on a phone too. It's
right.
harder.
Right. And then you get into the reviews. And I think, you know, I would probably recommend putting the reviews a little bit higher as well.
Okay.
So like I think the reviews probably do more for you in selling the product than these lifestyle images do. Cause mm. one of the first things people are going to do is, okay, so this is an influencer brand. Is it trustworthy? Is it yeah. actually high
is
quality?
Is it merch, low quality, just yeah, trying to get yeah. money out of my hands?
Like, and something that has been really powerful is a lot of people are showing a 3-star review to give a really authentic feel. So you can almost have someone say, some of my favorite shorts of all time, really high quality, so great, just a little too short or something like that.
Or I like that. What about like, you know, best shorts I've ever worn, but I ordered the wrong size.
Yes, exactly. And like have that 3-star review, which almost backdoors like, mm-hmm. some of the unique selling properties that you want to get across, like
yeah.
super high quality, great for running and working out, but just that one little thing was wrong. But that one little thing is on the customer. It wasn't actually on the product itself.
I like that. That's good advice.
Yeah. I think throwing that like a little bit higher in the page, like right after those collections could be really good to kind of earn that click. And then again, dude, always want to just have a little button right here,
mm-hmm.
you know, shop okay. best sellers. Just right there, just because in case that review moves the needle for somebody.
Now they don't know where to go.
Yeah, that. Boom. Gotcha. Okay, you can redirect and they don't have to click on the hamburger menu and then go to the product page and stuff like that.
I think another thing too is underneath the social proof, you could add UGC, right? Get a bunch of UGC that you've collected from your friends or from actual customers and put that on the homepage as well. Like that is going to move mountains for you on the conversion side.
Yep.
If you have UGC that's specific to a specific product, put it on the product page as well. True Classic, again, is another really good brand at doing this. They have UGC specific for each product on the product page. Okay. So you get to not only just see the beautiful product images, you also kind of get to see it in action and in on somebody,
like the
versus
customer review pictures they send in or whatever. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Well, it's like it's actual videos. It could be an actual TikTok video, Instagram video, but you're putting that on the actual page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can show the stretch. You can show someone working out in it. You can show them after like a super sweaty workout and that it didn't change colors. You can show the length of the shorts. Like there's a lot of different sort of scenarios to portray it with that UGC.
Yeah.
And it's just a carousel.
That's one thing we no problem admitting this. We suck at UGC. Like, and that's we're really trying to get the right people and on our team to make that kind of content, get the right influence. You know, I'm sure you've seen on my socials, been hanging out with a lot of the local Austin like runner influencers, Ian Fonz, right? These guys, like, very fortunate that I became friends with them right as we were starting this new collection.
Yeah.
But we're working on UGC hard right now because we do suck at that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, by the time someone's reached your product page, they are pretty down.
Yeah.
They kind of want your product if you think about it, but now it's up to you to convince them. And so what are those things that you want to convince them on with your product page? You know, when I check this out, you do have a picture of it on a model, but you know, a 4-inch inseam, I'm just looking at the product carousel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a 4-inch inseam for the UNC Blues, for example, like this is really, you know, that's a short, dude. So like, I think just talking about like where that's gonna fall on someone's thigh, you know, like kind of assuring somebody like, yo, these aren't too short, or like just giving them confidence that it's gonna fit, is something that I would consider kind of instituting on this page.
And what about making it specific about a person, like the perfect workout shorts for someone wanting a pair that fits halfway up the thigh and maximizes the aesthetic look of your legs?
For sure.
Something like
but
that.
But I think like what he's saying too is when you get, somebody gets to the product page, that's where the most objections are going to start happening of like, well, is the 4-inch seam going to fit me well? Is it going to be too tight? Is it going to be loose enough? And that's where you can tackle those objections. You could add like a frequently asked question, something simple, just answering all these internal questions that they have before they make the product. Because once they get to the PDP page, you're just trying to push them over the edge to make the purchase and not let them have all these questions that push them back from making that purchase.
Right. And what I had written down in the kind of the playbook here was, you know, introduce some clever copy about showing off the thighs.
Yeah.
And not looking like a dad, you know, not looking like a bozo, right? Like, I think there's a lot of, you know, cultural.
That's kind of our USP right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stop looking.
No one
like,
likes the knee, shorts to knees look.
Yeah, know? Dude. And like, there's so many funny memes about like mid 2000s super long shorts that you could even kind of draw inspiration from. And also the versatility and the mobility of kind of having your legs out when you're working out like that, like not being restricted.
Yeah.
So it can lean to that performance.
Short is in.
Yeah.
I know like a lot of girls also, like I noticed this on my videos. Maybe this is something I need to point out more. Like at least the girls that I've been around that I interact with, like they love short shorts on 100%. Guys, right? Like, so maybe that's something we need to, maybe that's something we implement in the reviews.
Absolutely.
I love how my boyfriend looks in his new Woodhaw shorts.
That's another thing you could start doing is targeting women. Like with your 100%. Ads, like it's worth testing it, targeting the women because they're going to be buying it for their guys. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many of my friends just openly say that their girlfriend is the only reason that they have good style. And
I mean, that's why I'm looking for one right now. Because I don't know what to buy when I go to the store.
But, you know, I think leaning into that gifting angle could be huge.
Okay, cool.
Because a lot of, it's something about, there's a transformation trend on TikTok where women will be like, I had a boyfriend, but now I have a husband. Yeah. And it shows like his increase in style.
Or I had a boyfriend, now I have a
before
man.
Before and after my girlfriend. You guys ever seen those videos?
Yeah, exactly.
How it started, how it's going, all that shit.
Another thing you do on your product page that I think is interesting is you have the quality assurance, and it shows that you're aware that, you know, people want to pay $60 for shorts. They want it to be really strong quality. And in the quality assurance, I think you kind of mentioned, you know, it's at the forefront of what we do. They're crafted from premium materials designed to provide both comfort and durability. I do think in today's day and age, things like that fall kind of hollow. Because you're not being very specific. So when you say you have premium materials, I think you should lean into what are those premium materials? Because when we talk to Oren, you know, he's a luxury product kind of savant.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, how do you position your products to actually be luxury? Like, how do you justify charging a massive cost? And it's about ingredients, materials, and the story behind stuff. So you, whether or not, I don't know where you get your nylon from, but like, create a story about how that nylon is just top of the line. It's the best quality, made in Spain or somewhere, like single origin materials, like kind of incorporate some of that stuff so that the materials, without you saying, trust me, bro, they actually just read it and they're like, oh shit, this is really quality.
In this case, like the education builds the trust and the trust builds the confidence.
No, I agree fully. Yeah. I think one of the things we're doing right now is we're switching, we're testing out a lot of new manufacturing in Lulu's old factories in Mexico that they use for a couple different lines of products. And it's way more expensive than China, which is where we currently get most of our stuff from. But, and that does really hurt our margins, but maybe it does allow us to charge a little bit more, $10 more per pair, right? And gives us the ability to write a story in the description. You know, these products were sourced using local cotton picked in Mexico and assembled at the, you know, one of the most well-known and established local factories in Mexico City.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Dude, 100%. Just creating a story around it. Being transparent in the first place, because people just assume you got this for $8 from China.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all you're fighting against.
And dude, if you lean into the luxury aspect of it, that's where now the average, I think it's like Death by Average sweatpants, they go from $70 to $90 and luxury products have luxury margins, but you got to play into the storytelling that makes a product luxury.
See, that's what I thought, and I would love that to be the case. And I actually started this, like, put all this effort and time into switching like quite a bit of manufacturing to Mexico, looking for new sourcing, right? Been doing this over the past 4 or 5 months now because so many people were in my comments saying, I'm not buying shorts made from China, made in China, right? Like Chinese dropshipper. Like people would say all this stuff, bro, probably gets his shorts for, you know, whatever price, even though it's a lot higher. Like our margins aren't that great. So I put a lot of effort into switching to Mexico, which is much more expensive. And the quality is quite a bit better, but I don't think it's worth the increase in price if you were to look at them on a chart. But then I realized the people that are complaining about the China products were never going to buy our shit in the first place. They just don't like me.
Yeah.
And they just want to give any excuse possible, because then I made a recent video saying, all right, guys, like this is the new product from Mexico. The quality is for sure 15% better, right?
Yeah.
You can tell by the stitching, it is a little better. You could tell by how clear the print is on the shorts that this isn't going to fade. It's going to last you, you know, the old shorts will probably last you 2 years before they start getting really worn. These will probably last you 2.5. And they're made in Mexico. Is that worth an extra $10? And because a big majority of our audience is like young guys who might not care about, a big majority of our audience is guys that don't give a shit. They don't care that it's made in China, at least our customers right now. So I'm seeing that, I'm even starting to think like, damn, maybe that was all for nothing, but we'll try it out. We have like a couple thousand pairs coming from Mexico soon, and I'll filter them into the current selection of products and see how they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe even email some people personally, say, hey, what do you think of this new one? I saw you're a big customer. I sent you a new one from Mexico. Can you tell the difference?
Yeah. And I mean, dude, you know, you want to talk UGC.
Yeah. Why don't you do like some on the street interview things? Like, can you feel the difference between Chinese manufacturing and Mexican manufacturing?
Or just, you know, I mean, you have a big audience. You could easily comment, reply this, and it's one of the guys who's in your comments chirping, saying, you know, China, bro, and be like, dude, I hear you guys, we wanted to have the best shorts in the game. Like, check these out. And then just kind of showing the difference.
Yeah, I should do more of that.
And you can also just immediately turn that into an ad in your Meta ad account.
Yeah.
And I bet it'll perform really well.
Definitely. That's one thing we haven't touched about is like, there's so many things you could do on the organic content side that when it works, that's when now you're going to put it into paid instead of running paid now, testing a bunch of shit, wasting a lot of money there.
Mm.
Test it all on organic. You're already great at making content. You're around people that are great at making content. When it works and it drives sales and you have proof points that like, hey, this just went viral and sold 100K worth of shorts, 50K worth of shorts. what happens when we put 50K behind it in Meta and we let Meta do the targeting?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot to learn there from testing, using organic as like the testing grounds for what then is going to work on paid.
Yeah, I like that. Well said. I have a question for you guys. So I'm actually, you know, a UGC video we're working on right now, like for top of funnel, is a video of Noah, you know, stud looking dude, right? Sick physiques, covered in tattoos. And he's also just a great guy, big following. It's a video he made for me of just doing a lot of cool activities. And the video isn't even really like centered on the shorts at all. It doesn't even say squid. He doesn't even mention the word squid hoss. It just says like POV, you surround yourself with winners. And it was just, it's him doing like a 40-foot cliff jump, him doing crazy workouts, him running the marathon, saunaing, ice bath, right? Like all wearing the product. And I'm curious if you think that'll do well. I haven't even started running ads on it yet, but it was more going to be like, the idea was a top of funnel, like, oh, this is a sick video. Wait, oh, Squid Hoss is running this. Okay, learn more. Click on it. It won't even maybe say shop now. It'll just say learn more.
I don't know. I think that's a tough one.
If you post it organically and it does well, then I bet it will do okay. Hmm. I would not post it from his account because you'll get skewed results. Especially on, is he big on?
We're going to post on both.
Yeah. So if it does well from your brand account and a cold audience, maybe. Mm. But, you know, something like that might have a strong click through rate and not necessarily convert well. Yeah. Or, you know, it's just not really establishing. Because at that point, you're really relying on this product page to sell the product.
Yeah.
And so one of the things about Meta that has been abundantly clear over the last 2 years is, you know, you test and scale.
Yeah.
And so, to think that you are smarter than the Facebook algorithm will result in a lot of pain. And that's the most powerful algorithm in the history of mankind for advertising. So like when you plug something in and just see if it works, it'll tell you.
Well, I guess my thought process behind it was not even solely to drive sales off that video, but getting that person who's on the fence about buying our stuff to see studs, that Haas figure, wearing it, right? And the video is not even centered on the product. Once again, it's like, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe it's just not that complicated and you got to focus on the product itself. But my thoughts, because I even find myself sometimes thinking like, this is a sick ad. If I saw this, I would buy something. And then I test it organically with something really basic, like a flat lay of shorts on the ground, and the flat lay will do better. And then I start to realize like, you know what? The average person doesn't have a creative advertising mind like me, maybe it's actually too complicated.
Dude, not even that. The average person, I mean, they're just swiping through their stories, man. Like they're not even like paying an ounce of attention. And so it is interesting you mentioned that because a lot of brands have gone more towards awareness focused type of ads in the past. And
I see a lot of ASRV doing that.
Yeah.
It's not even really highlighting the product. It's just like,
but so what, you know,
what are you going to do when the time is now?
So it's an interesting mix in your ad account because you're talking about a flat lay product, like a dynamic product set, which is basically, you know, those carousels where it just goes through all your different products with a white background on Meta. That often cleans up the interest from that previous video. So say people are watching that surround yourself with, you know, a bunch of badass videos. Like say people are watching that video, but not clicking. Meta will then understand that and be like, okay, this person's actually a little bit interested. Let's show them the product focused, higher converting ad set. And that'll often do a lot of cleanup. A brand that I used to work with was kind of in the fashion space. And like, that was always super noticeable. We'd have a lot of lifestyle content that would drive a lot of downstream conversion at the dynamic product ad level. Cause it's just so easy to see the product looking great with, you know, a flat lay and just make that decision. You know, I've wanted it for a while, so now it's go time.
And I think on the ASRV side, they're probably leaning into brand marketing now that they've established a brand, they have a ton of customers, and that is the campaign that you're seeing. It is tailored towards brand marketing where you're in the performance marketing part of it, where you're trying to figure out what works, what doesn't, and then you could use organic for brand marketing.
You need escape velocity.
And you need to be able to scale.
You know, Landforce talks about this. He's a big...
Oh, I follow him. Yeah, I get his emails all the time.
Guy. Yeah, Landforce is the homie. And he talks about this. He's like, look, man, like, don't fucking study Nike. Like, you know, those guys, they're so far along. Like, there's so little context about what Nike's doing now that matters for a little guy.
Yeah.
And I would even go as far to say Represent and ASRV might be at that level too for an emerging brand. Because they don't have to give a shit about only conversion focused stuff. They now have a cult following that is going to them repeatedly.
You're
going to
advertise for them too.
And now you're almost creating a branded experience for your cult following as the priority, because they're trying to extend that lifetime value of their existing customers more so than grow their base.
They're trying to, they're trying to get buy-in from their existing customer base to be like, this is my brand forever. The same way I feel about Nike. I'm like, I grew up with Nike. All their brand marketing has made me be like, this is my brand forever. I'm always getting their running shoes. I'm always getting their shorts. I'm always getting X, Y, Z. And it's these brand marketing campaigns versus the performance marketing campaigns. I don't know when I've bought a Nike pair of shorts or a pair of Nike shorts from an ad. I haven't. Mm-hmm. I do it organically because I fell in love with the brand.
Yeah.
That's what Represent's doing. That's what ASRB is doing. It's a different ball game.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know. I totally see the point there. 100%.
One last super technical thing that I wanted to mention. Have you looked into any sort of keyword opportunities like SEO stuff?
No.
So you have a sneaky goldmine opportunity with nylon shorts. So Nylon Shorts has around 20,000 organic searches a month with a really low keyword difficulty rating, which is anything under 30 out of 100. So that's best nylon shorts for men, shorts with nylon, like all these sort of different stems and variations of it. So I would really consider looking into that because, you know, I checked your site health. You're probably getting anywhere from like 10 to 20,000 site hits a month now, I'm guessing.
We're doing like 1,000 to 2,000 a day. It depends if we're doing campaigns or not, like with SMS email. But I mean, I could just check on my phone right now.
Yeah, honestly,
it'd be easy.
It's definitely see. Right there. The Shopify. Let's see. Nothing better than the Shopify app.
I think sessions about 40K.
Okay, sweet. So, you know, you are looking at pretty much within 6 months, I think you could probably get, you know, 40 to 50% of these 20,000 searches a month. And if you think about what that search is, someone looking for a nylon short, there's a lot of intent behind
that
search.
Bottom of funnel. Yeah.
They're actively saying to you, I want your product. And you know, to do this, you probably, $2,000, $3,000 a month in spend to an SEO agency. That's actually pretty good. So something to consider there.
Interesting.
As well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do zero SEO at all.
Yeah. It's better to start now then 6 months from now when you're pissed that you didn't start.
But yeah, let me know if you guys got a guy. You guys do
he,
it.
Yeah, I think he does. You have an SEO person, right?
Yeah. But I don't know if he's the best for e-com. There's a few guys that I know that we could talk about. But dude, Lucas, hope that was helpful.
Very helpful. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like I said, I'm always stoked to feel like an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you're not an idiot, man. You got not a brand that's, you know, going to do multiple seven figures this year. Audience is crushing. So, you know, congrats on everything. And hopefully some of this helps you out.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Great having you here. And it was a pleasure, dude. Pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man.
For sure.